And now, the Delirious Dads Gaming Podcast.
Welcome to the Delirious Dads Gaming Podcast. I'm Clinton Stanley here with you on a snowy spring night, March 4th, 2019. It's not really spring, though. But we're here with Ryan Maddox.
What's up, y'all?
And the chef from the West, Hunter Venable.
Hey, guys, what's up?
You cooking us some of that Red Dead meat tonight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, am I? I didn't know about that.
I don't know. I do know we're doing a cooking segment tonight, so I'm pretty pumped about that. One of my favorite things.
Yeah, you guys don't. I'm not telling you what's on the menu yet.
All right, don't do it.
It doesn't matter what's on the menu because good looking is the one putting it on the menu.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's cooking good looking?
It's March 4, 2019. Lots of news going around. A majority of it negative. And then, you know, we got life. So let's go ahead and let's start off first. Ryan, what's going on in your world?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what's going on in my world. I think I've mentioned before the fact that we're remodeling a house. If I haven't, now I have. It's a 1850s. You may say it's a farmhouse. Some around here say it's a schoolhouse. Some say it's just a haunted house. Either way, we're remodeling it. And we do not have central heat and air yet. So it being, you know, I know, hey, if we got some listeners in North Dakota or something like that, you're going to be like, oh, you guys don't even know when it's negative 20 out here, eh? I don't care about all that. What I'm saying is here in Oklahoma, when it's 12 outside, feels like 9. It's serious freeze your cojones off weather.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In my house, all I've got is a couple little gas heaters, no central heat in yet. And so it's fairly serious. It's like you're, you know, I'm in sweats, two layers of pants, two layers of socks in my house. Yeah.
Wow.
That's rough.
It was nine. It was 9 degrees outside when I went to work this morning.
Wow.
That is
nine. I stand corrected. I thought it was bad when my mind thought it was 12. I've just been lying to myself.
And that was just on my Apple Watch, so it may have been even like it may have felt like less. You know how it's always like 9 degrees, but it feels like
I'm sure it was crazy. Probably zero.
Yeah.
It was a little windy today.
Well, a little shout out to our Twitch listeners tonight. Thank you guys for tuning into the live show.
Yeah, you listeners out there on our podcast, tune in to Twitch to get some raw uncut footage.
Yep.
When we record, we'd love to have you on. So yep.
The goal on that's we shoot Monday night. The goal is to start at 7, and we actually made it.
As the community grows and there's more people on Twitch, we'll actually talk to some people in the show while we're recording, you know, as we get some conversations going and things like that probably in the future. What's up with your life this week?
I'm actually getting ready to start a new job, so kind of transitioning out of the old one, getting things together for the new one. I have to go Friday and get a new badge, have to buy some new scrubs.
Here's a legit question I've always had.
Yeah.
Don't mean to interrupt. Nurses, a lot of times, like, oh, I don't know, girl nurses, they're all into the cute scrubs, and they'll wear, like, all kinds of different patterns that they find, and they probably even search online to find all these different cute scrubs.
Right.
Some hospitals, they don't even let you do that, right? You just wear the blue scrubs, and that's all you've got,
no matter what department you're in. I think it's starting to go that way, because they want it to be, like, easy. Like, if you're in the hospital, they want you to be able to identify that color.
Right.
Yeah.
So my question was kind of, if you are in one of those hospitals, or if you're a guy, and you pretty much wear one color of scrub all the time, how often do you change scrubs? Like, how long do you get away with wearing that same pair of scrubs? You know what I'm saying? Like, some of those guys, they probably got one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They wash them on the weekend, and they bring them back every time. Obviously, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm saying, what kind of guy is Clinton Stanley?
I have a pair for each day.
Whoa.
Because of infection control.
Now, okay.
In my current job, probably wouldn't be as big of a deal. It's going to be more of an office setting.
Right.
If you're working the floor, you want to have different scrubs each day because you don't know what you got on you.
Is that required?
I mean, I think it's just expected.
It should be required.
Yeah.
Now that you said that out loud, I'm thinking about it, I'm carrying this disease.
I'm pretty sure there's something in the contract that you sign when you come on. You know,
that pretty much says, hey, don't be a scrub. Change your scrubs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Okay. I don't want no iridocyclitis.
No.
Yeah.
Now, some hospitals have it to where you just come in, you put your scrubs on there, so they have a cleaning, they just supply everything for you.
That makes sense. You change in a locker room.
Yeah, I'd like go, change the locker room there, and then you have less chance to bring all the germs from the hospital out to to the public.
In the United States, they probably don't do that because they're against locker room talk nowadays. You know, it's bad
thing. Be careful what you say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
It gets to that extreme these days.
Right.
Slippery slope.
Yep. It is. Yeah, so that's what's going on with that. Definitely not going to be putting as much miles on the car, so that'll be a plus for the car. But other than that, schedule's not really changing. Shouldn't affect the podcast. We should be able to roll out just like we've been doing. Exciting times.
Sweet.
Yeah.
How about you, old Hunter?
Just working. Today, I got up at 5, as always, and I went outside, fresh snow on the ground. I didn't even know it was supposed to snow last night.
I didn't either.
Me neither. So I'm thinking, am I going to be able to get to work? And the roads weren't that bad, but I mean, there were some spots, you know? And so I had like this much, I guess nobody can see this out there. I'd say like an inch of snow built up because I didn't do anything on Sunday at all. Didn't take the car out. So I had like an inch of snow, some ice on my car. So it took a while, you know? So I texted my boss, Dan, and I said, hey man, I'm not going to be in on time. I'm probably going to be 15 minutes late. It's going to take me a little while with the roads. I didn't hear back from him until I got to work. He texted me and said, oh man, I forgot to text you last night. We're not open until 8 today.
Because of the weather?
The weather. So I was already at work, so I just texted him back. I was like, Dan, I'm going inside and I'm going to do some prep. Like, I'm already here. I'm not driving back home. At 6, and I'm like prepping and all that stuff. And I get a text a little while later. And I look at my phone. And he's like, hey, just wanted you to let you know, boss man pushed it back again. We're not open until 9. So I was there for like 3 hours with nobody else there, like prepping. Which is kind of nice.
You got your hours, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got my hours. I was alone. I was able to get a bunch of stuff done. So,
hey, ladies and gentlemen out there, that's nice. A perfect time to pop on the Delirious Dads Gaming Podcast. And you got 3 hours to kill.
That's right.
Yeah, while at work and you're getting paid. That's perfect, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I listened to one of our podcasts this morning, by the way.
Oh, did you? Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Was it the most recent one? Episode 4?
Episode 4, yep.
Nice.
So, is it just me, or when you're listening to yourself, not your own personal self, but like the whole podcast, it's like different because when it's edited, there's certain parts of the conversation that are gone or different things like that, where we messed up or things like that. And when you're listening, like you're expecting, oh yeah, that's when I said that. And then sometimes it's not there. That's weird.
It sounds so smooth and you're like, dang, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I don't even notice there's any cuts or anything like that in there. Clint does a real good job at that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. At first I thought there was going to be like a dig coming, but then there wasn't. So. I'm not sure how to accept all that.
Usually I'm just ripping a new one over there. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, yeah.
You do a great job.
Oh, thank you.
That's why you deserve the big bucks.
Yeah, we're rolling in the dough right now, folks. Mm-hmm. Just can't control ourselves. Glad to get that out there. Everything's coming along great. So it's been a good week. And I guess we'll just roll on into Epic Dad's Epic Result.
Epic Dad's Epic Results.
All right, it is time for Epic Dad's Epic Results. We're going to talk about our kids, our week, and we did have a conversation or a message board on Facebook with a gentleman. I want to talk about his situation, talk about a little bit of advice. Excited about talking about all this. So I guess we'll go ahead and start off with Hunter. Hunter, what's going on with Rhett? Where are we at on
Rhett's doing good. He's a bok choy now.
A what?
A bok choy.
What's that?
Hey, we're not Japanese, man. What's a bok choy?
Hey, you knew what a Japanese. You knew it was Japanese. That's the first step. Bok choy is like it's a type of cabbage, kind of, and they use it in cooking. Bok choy, for American, I would just say a large banana. He's getting bigger and bigger. Natalie's feeling more like kicks instead of flutters now. Feeling some more pressure, and that's really cool. But I've had some adventures today being a father. And being a husband, because I got home, another thing with the weather, I got home today and Natalie was like, hey, the kitchen sink isn't working. I said, what do you mean the kitchen sink isn't working? She said, I texted you this morning, the water's not coming out of it. I didn't see the text or else I would have had her like call somebody right then, you know, because your pipes, if they freeze up, they can break. I don't know if you guys know that, but they can bust and that's a huge issue. So I try it. She's like, yeah, and I don't think the toilet's working properly. I run to the bathroom. The toilet's not filling back up with water. Shower on. Shower's not coming on.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. The pipes are completely frozen. So then I try our last faucet in the house, which is in the bathroom, and it comes on. That's weird. So that's the only one that's working. And so I flip it on. I call everybody. He's like, I call the landlord, and he gets his plumber, and we talk on the phone, and he's like, if there's no busted water coming out of your yard or anything like that, you're good. He said, there's not much we can do right now. It's just frozen. You have to wait till it thaws out. He said, you can open up all your cabinets, you know, keep that water flowing and the one that works. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I left it on high, opened up all the cabinets, and I turned my hot water heater up to high. Mm. And we went to the store for a couple hours and we came back and it started working again. So
Oh, good.
I was super freaked out. It's one of those things where, like,
water on high? The one that was on high was your hot water?
No, because the hot water was, like, the hot water tank was also froze up, I think, at least the pipe from it, not the actual hot water tank. So, like, when I would go to turn it on hot, it wouldn't come out hardly at all.
Gotcha. Yep.
So I just had it running, and he said just the water coming out, flowing, would melt the other pipes, you know, a little bit. Yeah. So it ended up working, and all of our water's working now. But it's one of those things where you feel helpless because you want to do something about it right now, and you can't. It's a natural thing. You just have to let it thaw, you know. So
okay.
Yeah, and you've got central heat and air, so that's
– Yeah.
Is your hot water tank out in your garage or
– No, it's actually in the house. It's back here by the
really?
Washer and dryer. Yeah.
That usually stays pretty warm in there.
Yeah, we're up. The thing is our house is elevated off the ground, so we have crawl space. So all of our pipes go up underneath the house and then come back up.
So your crawl space got cold.
Okay. My crawl space got real cold this morning because it was 9 degrees outside and there's air flowing through there too.
Yeah.
And so it froze them up, I think. And all we had to do is hit some water on it for a while, but it's good
next
now.
Next time, if you either leave it dripping or you can get underneath there and wrap those pipes.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a problem if I would just left one dripping overnight, but I didn't think, I didn't even know. It's going to get down to 9 degrees and snow again. I thought that Sunday was it, you know, and so it caught me, but that was a big thing this week, and then I made a purchase this week. I justified it with Brett. It's kind of funny, you know, you think baby shower, you think diapers and changing tables and all that, but I bought a PlayStation 1 throwback.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's a little console. You know, it's a little mini console, PlayStation 1, so we're going to have to get together and play that a little bit. I told Natalie, she was out of town when I bought it. She was on a trip, and I just bought it because I saw a deal on Facebook. It was like half off. I just bought it, and when she got back, I said, "Hey, honey, I got to tell you, I bought something." She was like, "Okay, what is it?"
It's a mic.
Like, "Now, don't get upset." I was like, "I justified this.
Oh, something I didn't need."
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
I said,
guilty pleasure.
But the way I justified it is I said, I grew up playing PlayStation with my dad, and I thought it'd be cool to have these games to show Rhett when he gets a little bit older. So she was cool with it after I gave her some reasons why.
So she was like, "Oh, you bought a PlayStation right now for 2-3 years from now."
Yeah. I'm going to play it right now.
I like it.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Well, you got to test it all out, make sure there's nothing bad in there for him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
You don't want to taint the little mind, you know?
But I started looking online, and they got, you know, like, they got the original Resident Evil. They've got Metal Gear Solid. They have that game called Oddworld that I was telling you guys about. So that'll be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You guys can come over, and I'll show you that game.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
How many games total does it have?
About that. I don't know the count right now, but it's quite a few.
I got it.
Yeah, it's kind of like those little Nintendos you can buy, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't have to use a disc or anything. So it's just, they're all on there already, and it looks like a little mini PlayStation. It's got the little foam fake memory cards and stuff.
It's really cool. Just like a little hard drive type deal built on there with everything on it. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm pumped about that.
Really cool. Really cool. Ryan, what about you? Anything going on?
What happened with me? Well, we're talking about cold and snow and all that. It's funny that he mentions his pipes. I was really nervous about mine with how cold it is and the fact that our house doesn't even get warm, and we have a crawl space too.
Yeah.
So I was like, I left stuff. I left my upstairs sink dripping and my downstairs sink dripping, and I left it on, you know, like medium, so you got a little bit of hot and cold going through there.
Yeah, really.
But we didn't have any problems, so I was surprised that you did. But I woke up in the morning definitely thinking, oh boy, because my crawl space isn't really a crawl space. It's literally about 4 inches below the joist. And then there's dirt. So there's no. If you want to go anywhere, you have to literally take the floor off of the house from inside. You know, the old wood floors. Lift them up and then dig a trench wherever you want to crawl.
Oh, nice.
And so that would have been horrible.
That was some good ingenuity right there, man.
I don't know if that just filled in over the years or you know what. Why did they build it right on the ground like that? I don't know, but I've seen older houses like this. That's just how they are a lot of times. You know, the foundation here is rock. The whole walls are rock, and the rock goes all the way down to the ground, so there is no entrance to a crawl space or nothing like that. It doesn't exist. It's just rock everywhere.
Well, I wonder if that helps, like keep it from freezing.
It should help. Yeah, I mean, because the wind doesn't actually whip through there, you know, like it does some of those vented ones.
We just
ones.
Have like siding, so
and then sometimes even with that siding, you'll have a couple little screen vents down there. Yep. And that lets air go in there too. speaking of the cold, I was saying, you know, we went out. Obviously, I've got a five-year-old. Every time it snows, she's just pumped. Uh-huh. She's jacked up, ready for the snow. So we go out there. We're playing in the snow. This isn't like a one thing happened. I'm going to give you guys a description of, you know, when you turn five. And you know me, I'm a smart aleck. I'm always sarcastic. I'm always doing things mm-hmm. that kind of push the boundaries, even mm-hmm. with my five-year-old. And so she learns how to be kind of witty back. And she punks me sometimes the same way I punk her. She has mm-hmm. a lot of fun with that. Anyways, we're throwing snowballs back and forth. I'm kind of keeping it away from the face zone because it's so cold. Usually you can get a little snow in your face and on your bare hands and you're okay if it's a warm day.
You get a chunk of ice though.
Oh, but yeah, in the temperature that it is, if you get wet at all, you're right. miserable. I mean, it's just going to ruin the fun. And so I'm trying to keep it out of the face. We're throwing back and forth and we're having fun, blah, blah, blah. I go over to the grill and there's, you know, obviously on top of the grill, it's just nice smooth metal and it's just coated with nice powder snow, you know. And the snow's so dry, it's kind of not packing. So you can't really make the best snowballs, but it really works well for like throwing powder. I say, "Hey, Rory, come here." She comes running over. As she comes, I just swipe the whole top of it.
Right, right into her face.
Oh yeah, right into her face. I didn't even think about it. I just wanted to get her good. Anyways, I see her kind of wipe her face, and she's kind of in shock for a second. I say, "Are you okay? Was that too much?" She looks up at me, snowball to my face. "Are you okay? Is that too much?"
Yo, Rory.
I said, I get it. Okay. And she just runs and starts playing. So at least she took it in a good way.
That's awesome.
A minute later, she knows I'm always trying to punk her. We're jumping on the trampoline, which is pretty epic in the snow. Because the snow is like rising up with you and, you know, hitting it and cracking. She's jumping all over the trampoline. And I tell her, "Hey, come over here. You got something, you know, on the back of your leg or something." You know, I'm trying to trick her. She's too wise for that. So she's telling me, "No, I think you're going to do something." You know, and so I'm trying to bait her for like 10 minutes with different things. Then finally, I think I told her, "Okay, I'm going to let you throw a big snowball at me, but get close so you don't miss." She bit hook, line, and sinker. You know, came up close enough. Boom, I grabbed her leg. Swept her off the trampoline. She said, "No, Dad, no." I took her and I threw her on there like a slip and slide. Just slid her across the whole trampoline because it was all icy. Mm-hmm. She got to the other side. I thought she was going to be all upset because I could see the snow just like shoot up her back under her shirt.
Yeah, got her good.
And she gets up. "Oh, thanks, Dad." And I said, "What?" She goes, "You made a pile for me to jump in." Like her body raked up all the snow into one spot on the other side. I was like, okay. So she started jumping in that. But it was good. Speaking of the trampoline, I'll throw one other little thing on there. We just got the trampoline set up the other day after moving. And she's begging me, "Jump on the trampoline. Come on, Dad, jump on the trampoline." I'm like, "All right." So I climb up there.
Oh, that's risky.
I start jumping. Oh, it's all bad. I know. I've been on the trampoline plenty of times. It is old, but it never wants to break. For some reason,
you've gained weight, though. It's been a while.
No, I haven't gained weight in like 7 years.
Okay.
Thanks, though.
I don't believe
well,
that.
I mean, I have. When I lose weight, I gain it back. But I've been at 315 for like 7 years.
Okay.
Anyways, I jump
at
up
least
on
you're
there.
Consistent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I consistently get back to the same level of fat. So I'm on there jumping, and then I'm like, "Man, the dogs must have pooped nearby." No, I had poop on my shoe, and I had just jumped it all over the trampoline. Just smeared.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like meshed, so it's in there. It's on there real good.
That's rough.
And so, yeah, then it was already
real
cold
that
day.
You can't hose it down.
I had to hose it down. Oh. I mean, there's no wiping it out. You know what I mean?
It's just like frozen, just frozen all
over. Are you not supposed to get them wet?
No, he just meant because it's so cold.
So cold.
It's not going to dry or anything, yeah. And so she didn't care, man. This was before the snow, a couple days before, but it was already cold.
Oh, okay.
She,
I got you.
She jumps,
I thought
she
you
jumps
meant,
up.
I thought you meant it was still snowy. And you got poop all in the... Okay.
No, just smeared straight on the raw trampoline. This was a couple days before.
Gotcha.
Anyways, I cleaned it off, and I told her, "Hey, you can jump, you know, if it dries off, but it's probably not going to because it's so cold out here." And then she comes up like a little while later, "Dad, what if I just don't care?" And I'm thinking, she'll learn today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, "All right, go on." She just jumps up on it. She didn't care at all. She jumped for like 30 minutes, just clothes soaking wet, just freezing.
Nice.
I know I'm a bad dad. When she came in from the snow this other time too, she was out there too long. Hands were just like hurting numb.
Oh, yeah.
And then like 2 hours later, I noticed she has two like freezer burn circles on her cheeks. I'm like,
man.
Oh, my gosh. But usually she...
Did it right, man.
Usually, I know the proper term would be frostbite, people. I know, but freezer burn sounds nicer. And she's like, I'm like, "Man, your cheeks sure are red." And I look, and I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's bad." So I kind of warm them up a little bit. She didn't like it. Today, we were talking about going out in the snow. She was like, "No, I didn't like the way you had to press my cheeks after they got burnt yesterday." I was like, "Yeah, we just need to come in more often next time we're out in the snow."
Yep.
Lesson learned from dad. Tip for you dads. Yep, don't stay out too long. Even if your kid can take it, because I had her pretty bundled up. Her gloves are a little weak, so her hands got cold, and she didn't have anything on her face. That's the only thing. She had like a scarf all up on her neck and the lower part of her face.
Yeah.
And she had a beanie, but nothing across like her eyes and cheeks. And of course, that's where it was all bad. It's hard to find that kind of stuff in Oklahoma.
Well, it's hard to find all the gear you really need in Oklahoma, I feel like.
Well, yeah,
if you're from,
I mean,
like, Michigan, they're going to have everything you need. But here, it's
in
like,
all seriousness,
they only put out the snow stuff if a big snowstorm's coming. You know?
You just got to go to the academy.
But in all seriousness, how often do you have a kid out in the yard playing for an hour and they get frostbite?
Right.
In Oklahoma.
It's not that cold here. Right. You only need that mask stuff when you're going out to go hunting for an hour, 2 hours,
for a long
3 hours.
Yeah. Or you're working at it, obviously.
I got plenty of those stories, boys. Getting way too cold.
For me, didn't do a lot this week. Claire, kind of, her stomach was hurting Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday she was supposed to go out with her aunt, and they were going to have lunch and eat some birthday cake for her aunt's birthday. Claire woke up that morning and was kind of doing the dry heaves, you know. I think it was more congestion that was going on, really. But she kept saying her stomach was kind of hurting. She, you know, picked up breakfast, but didn't really eat much. But she was bound and determined she wanted to go eat birthday cake. So we're like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. You can go. And so she goes, and then, like, her and her aunt aren't even gone, like, 30 minutes. Me and Mikhail were getting ready to leave. We were going to go eat lunch. Like, we finally don't have any kids, you know, no kids in the house. Let's go eat.
Yeah.
And, like, right as we put our shoes on, her aunt calls. Claire was sitting here, and she looked at me and said, I want to go home. I want my mom. My stomach hurts. Or my, you know, my belly hurts. And she said, do you want me to take your food with you? Yeah. And so I guess...
Wait. So she got the cake but didn't eat it? Like, it was like...
Oh, well, they went next door to the bakery after.
I was thinking she worked the system. Like, I'm going to get that birthday cake and not eat it because I know my stomach hurts. That's what it sounds like happened, maybe.
That is what happened, yeah. She wasn't wanting to give up on the fight. That's for sure what happened.
Oh, man.
As far as she wasn't... Because she'd been looking forward to this event, like, you know, 2 weeks ahead. She'd been talking about it. She wants to go get birthday cake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she wasn't giving up. She went to the restaurant, sat down, tried to do the lunch, was trying to get to that birthday cake. And her aunt said that they walked into the bakery and Claire saw a cupcake and pointed, I want that. I want that one. I can't eat it right now. Take it home. And then Claire threw another one in there, which I think she was being sneaky, but Mama got her on this. She said, I want one for Annalise.
Nice.
And so there's an extra cupcake that came home, but I don't think she registered that Mama gets that. If it's for Annalise, Mama gets that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that plan got foiled, but it all ended up okay. She got to eat her birthday cake and the cupcake and all that. So it went pretty good. And then as far as fun things to do, recently I got her down. And you guys know I was a big fan of pro wrestling back in the day. And so me and Claire had a wrestling match, and I hooked her up with some music. She came out to Macho Man Randy Savage as entrance music from back in the day. And she didn't know really what was going on, but I was trying to show her, like, hey, we can play wrestle, right? You come out to your song, I'll come out to my song. Anyway, so we did it like it was a big championship match. I don't have a championship belt, right? So we just used Dad's leather belt.
Nice.
as the championship belt. And so we had a full-on wrestling match. She hit me with a pillow. She spat in my face, you know, fake. But she was acting like she was spitting on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, she grabbed me and started spanking my bottom.
Nice.
To wrestle me, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, has she watched some wrestling with you, so she kind of has an idea?
I've had it on before, but we've not, like, sat down and watched it, you know what I mean? Like,
so she's just naturally spitting your face.
Right, yeah, she just was having fun. You know how she gets when she's wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Just gets wild. But the spanking my bottom part, I wasn't expecting. I actually was wrestling with her, rolled over, and she goes, I spank your butt. And then she just started going to town on, and I went with it because I'm like, well, we're having fun, right? We're wrestling.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So she won the championship belt, and then she wanted to do it again, and Daddy had to say no because, you know, he's not in shape right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we got one good match in. We had a good time. Anywho, it's fun. I didn't think that, you know, girls would be into that, but they are.
Oh, yeah. Rory has a blast. We do real wrestling, though, not fake wrestling.
Well, we do real wrestling too. You know,
That's what I'd say afterward.
Right.
But so when we're real wrestling, she'll say, "Ready, on guard," and she got that off of some cartoon she was watching where they were fencing.
Yeah.
You know, having a fencing competition. That's how she starts. No matter how many times I tell her, that's not how it goes in wrestling. They're not going to say "ready, on guard." And she's like, yeah, that's how we do it. I'm like, okay. So I'm waiting for her to get out there if she ever wrestles, and then the ref's going to blow the whistle, and she's going to be, like, confused.
Yeah.
Because he never said ready on guard, because we have 3 years of ready on guard practice, you know.
I gotcha. Hey, I can't wait till she gets old enough, and I can tell the story about the time Uncle Clint did a real throw to Uncle Ryan when they were wrestling. And he just launched
him. Oh, yeah.
Just feet straight up in the air. It was great.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another day.
I kind of want you to really throw me.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't think I could really throw anybody anymore.
Yeah.
I can't move.
You can really throw those Twinkies in your mouth.
Yeah.
You can really throw that back out.
Yeah, exactly. You might not get as much air as Ryan got that day. So I wanted to roll into, I said earlier, I spoke to a person on Facebook who had commented on a group post. We're part of a group called Gamers Dad. It's a pretty big group. It's got like thousands of people. Well, this guy posted up a question. He was just throwing it out there to all the gamer dads out there. So I thought, well, we'll reach out. He said, well, dads, it's a matter of days before I officially join you in the ranks of fatherhood. Any last minute advice on bringing a newborn home? And then he went on to talk a little bit about gaming in the post. But I wanted to focus on that because I got to realizing, you know, we really haven't talked a lot about newborn babies yet.
Mm-hmm.
With Hunter's baby being on the horizon and my baby being on the horizon, it's like, it's going to be here pretty quick. So, but I really wanted to kind of reach out to the new dads. Because like this guy's saying, his name's Michael. The baby is due March 10th. It's going to be a little girl. So, guys, if you can, we're going to keep him in our prayers. He said he was cool with that. But just kind of wanted to throw out some advice to him. What I had kind of talked to him about was, you know, in the beginning, something I noticed that I had to come to terms with pretty quickly, because I don't think you think about it so much in the beginning, is as a dad, you're pretty worthless in the sense of when that newborn gets here, there's not a lot you can do. Unless you're doing formula feeds or, you know, mom has pumped enough that you can feed the baby, you really can't do that, right? You mm-hmm. can change some diapers, but, you know, as far as that feeding part, that, you know, and I think, you know, when they're first here, that's kind of the biggest deal is feeding them over and over and over mm-hmm. again. It's like you really feel kind of at a loss, right? So I just kind of told him, you know, in the beginning, just know that you will probably be put on the back burner. Like, people are not going to ask you, hey, Dad, how are you doing? It's going to kind of be, you're just going to be there for the support for mom and the baby. And so they're going to be all about the baby, all about mom, you know, and that's kind of the focus, I think, in them first couple of weeks.
Even if you are helping a bunch, nobody's going to ask you.
Right, right. And so I'm not gonna lie. Well, for me, my appendix ruptured, so it was a little bit different. Like, I just laid in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had to be about you, didn't it? There had to be something going on that had to be about Clinton.
Oh, well, you know. I'm throwing it out there. Like, for me, it was probably a little bit different experience is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I don't think most people's appendix rupture when their babies are born.
No. But I do remember having the feeling of, dang, I'm kind of chopped liver right now, and I'm really not producing. Like, there's really not a lot I can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just here. I would encourage any new dad to just kind of come to terms with, in that moment, in that time, that's just kind of the way it is. And so the best thing you can do as a new dad, in my opinion, is to be strong and be there for your wife. Help them through that difficult, because their hormones are raging. Everything's out of whack. And they got this new baby, new mama. You know, no matter how prepared you think you are,
I think it's
crazy. I know my wife thought she had read the book. She had, you know. And then when it happened, I was like, oh, dang. But I know it's different for every mom, too. But
well, there's more you can do, too, as a husband than take care of the baby, right? Like, say, for instance, you're doing breastfeeding, that's what we did. And so there wasn't feeding time all the time for me. When you're breastfeeding, a lot of times, you know, as a mom, you don't really have to get up out of bed. A lot of moms don't realize that. You can just, the baby's fine laying in there right next to you breastfeeding. And so, like, what we did is it was my job. I got up. You know, when the baby would wake up and start crying, I'd get up most of the time and get her, bring her and lay her in next to mom. Boom, she'd feed. And when she was done, she kind of just falls asleep and falls off. That's kind of how that goes. I used to just pick Rory up, and then I'd wrap her up and swaddle her and put her back in bed, you know, till she woke up again. And that was easier for Tiff than having to wake up all the time.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you can't help with much of that, or really you just, you're working the next day, so you can't be up as much, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. You can just help with more around the house, right? Because a lot of times the wife feels real bad because she's taking care of the kid all the time, so she lets a lot of the regular house stuff kind of go. The guy doesn't care. Who cares? At least this guy doesn't care. I'm like, okay, the dishes are behind. You know, if the house isn't picked up or vacuumed or something that mom usually does at home, who cares? We're taking care of a brand new newborn. There's like no judgment, no condemnation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the wife still feels bad for it. She still feels like stuff's undone and she's not, you know, keeping up. Because every woman knows some other woman who's like super mom,
mm-hmm.
who had no issues. She took care of everything and everything was perfect. And she still, you know, went and babysitted the other kids down the street. Who knows what the freak she did?
Right,
it's probably a lie. But
every
mom has that picture in their head.
Yeah.
So just be there to support your wife in the sense of help her do the things that she needs to do around the house so she feels good and like a success. Because the more she feels good about doing that, the actually better she's going to be at it. The better her mood's going to be. She's going to be more energetic. She's not going to feel all beat up and grumpy. And
that's really good.
What do they call that, too? And another thing that's real is that, what's it called, postpartum stress disorder?
Postpartum. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can have postpartum depression. It's something they go through and they don't even know it.
Yeah. Some moms really go through that. It's like that. What that has to do with is the fact that the baby's not in there anymore. Mm-hmm. We're separated. Now, they still have their baby, but there's something that goes on in a woman that says, my baby's gone in a way.
Right.
You're like, I'm not carrying this baby anymore. And I don't think Tiff really went through that much, but I do know some women who have, and it was pretty serious for them.
Yeah. It can get to the degree, I mean, some of them, they have a detachment from the baby, and so it's really hard for them in the beginning to even have that attachment, because that has a lot to do with the hormones, you know, where the hormone levels are at and things like that, of how it's making them react and feel, and it's kind of like anybody that's not in their right mind at the moment, you can't really tell them, hey, you know, you're not thinking right, you just need to get over it. You really can't say that. So, yeah, I would watch for those signs as well and just be supportive in any way you can. I mean, in that time period, a lot of what you do, just little things, will go a long way. And you'll get there. I mean, as Claire got older, all of a sudden that connection was there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the beginning, I was really kind of self-conscious about, when's this relationship part going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, I could hold her hand, I could hold her against me, and that was, like, nice, right? But as far as her crying out to mama, wanting mama, that kind of stuff, was more early on, but as she's gotten older, it's definitely got more, there's more of that relationship there where, you know, daddy's got more of a role, and so you just got to be patient and kind of go with what nature brings to you, you know what I mean? It's kind of all natural, but it's like I told this guy, I told him, I said, well, the good thing also is, when they're little, they think you do no wrong. So you can't mess up that bad. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So just give it your best and learn from your mistakes and it'll be all right. But I did tell him, you know, for me, one thing that I did, I would stay up because we were having a lot of issues with breastfeeding. So it finally came to the point where we were like, we're going formula. There was no reason for my wife to go through all that stress and be that distraught over not being able to breastfeed. And so finally we just... when she was comfortable with it, it was like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to formula. She'll still be okay. It'll be fine.
Right.
I know what all the statistics say, but, you know, it's going to be fine. There's plenty of formula-fed babies that come out just okay.
Oh, yeah.
And
really, everybody from our generation, man. Nobody breastfed in our generation.
Well, I was born premature, so I didn't even have an option, man.
Yeah.
It was like a formula
baby. But nowadays, most of the time, you can actually find another woman who overpumps.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're not trying to get on all that, but that's... a lot of women who want to breastfeed, it's devastating if they can't.
Yeah.
And for some women, they just can't. It just either they don't produce or the baby doesn't latch soon enough and they dry up or all kinds of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But usually on like Facebook groups and things like that, you can find another mom and her fridge is packed with milk.
Mm-hmm.
And as weird as that sounds.
I know, it sounds weird. Hey,
yep.
I had a Hispanic lady that was, back then they had shared rooms when I was born. And so...
Mm-hmm.
The Hispanic lady actually donated some milk to my mom. So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I joke now. That's why I love Mexican food so much.
Ah.
You know? It came from that. I had that natural taste when I was little, you know?
I got you.
But yeah, man, we wish you the best. We'll be praying for you and your daughter. Hit me up on the Facebook and let me know her name. And, man, we're really excited for you. It's awesome. It'll be the best experience ever. And gaming doesn't have to take a back seat. It will in the beginning.
Right.
In the beginning, I'm not going to lie. But you can work your way back into it and you know, keep life going as normal. So, all right, so Ryan, there was a subject that you brought up.
I wanted to make sure and get it in. We were giving dad advice, so, I mean, this is something that's not for brand new dads, but it's for all dads out there. And this is not just about this, but this is to highlight how real it is for you to keep your eye on your kids, especially with social media nowadays and with YouTube and stuff like that, everybody watching things. Years ago, there was like some weird videos that looked like Disney, had like Spider-Man and Elsa and stuff like that. But they were like pooping in toilets and doing all kinds of like sitting on each other and like sexual things. And it was real weird. But if you were a parent and you just glanced over, it looked like some people in suits being Elsa and Spider-Man, and it looked like a kid thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is like live action people.
Yes.
It'd be like me and you put on a, okay.
Right. Right, and just do some super weird stuff that kids shouldn't be seeing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's more than that, though. I mean, a bunch of stuff like that happens, but that's one of the reasons YouTube started YouTube Kids. It really helps a lot with the content. You don't have a bunch of, like, they're not going to accidentally stumble upon something you obviously don't want them watching, like terrorist videos or something that might be on YouTube, you know what I mean? But still, people try to sneak stuff on even YouTube Kids. And so this has been something that's been on YouTube. It's also been on WhatsApp. Isn't that the app that people use for talking to each other, texting and calling, WhatsApp?
Yep.
That's the video I watched this guy.
Yeah, they call it the, I guess it's called the Momo Challenge. Mm-hmm. And so it came out of the whole challenge thing that's been going on, you know, as stupid as Tide Pods is. Yeah. And that old Tide Pods challenge. But this is a real deal. Momo, you guys have seen the Momo?
Yeah,
no?
I've seen what it looks like.
What it looks like, videos.
It's a sculpture from a museum, right?
Yeah, it's creepy. Some Asian guy made this sculpture, and it's definitely creepy on its own. But someone has taken this creepy little picture of this sculpture, or more than one someone's, we don't know. Some people say it's a hoax, but and they put it in like little kids' videos on like Peppa Pig, things like that, to where all of a sudden it just cuts into the video, and it's telling them basically they should harm themselves or harm their friends or cut their fingers off or different things like that, or else their parents are going to be killed, right?
Right.
And some of the videos would even have like pictures of graphic people that are beheaded and stuff like that, laying there on the ground and things like that obviously you don't want your kids seeing at all. So, but it's gone beyond that to the point to where people have reported, you know, that Momo is on these like WhatsApp and stuff like that. And so you actually have a conversation with him, and that's the Momo challenge, I guess, is to actually ask him, you know, what he wants you to do, and then he's telling you what to do. There's a couple stories out there that have claimed that there's been a couple suicides now over this Momo challenge.
I've also heard, like, Momo tells the child, like, if you tell your parents or whatever, like, I'll come find you all.
I'm going to kill them or different things like that. Yep. And so what's crazy about that is the fact that, you know, they're saying it's some of the new stuff is saying it's a hoax, but I think it's a good chance that it's something real. And, you know, they're wanting people to not panic if they haven't caught the guy yet, if that makes sense.
Right, because it's obviously some hacker, right?
Right. And if it's really causing problems, then people are going to really just lose their crap over it because it's kids, you know?
Right.
But I did see a video, and it might be the same video you're talking about, Clint, where the guy actually talked to him on WhatsApp.
He had the head cam.
Yeah.
On? Yeah, that's the one I watched.
And he
called him back?
Yeah, he called him back to find out if he was a kid or not. And then once he was a kid, he hung up. And so then the guy went ahead and messaged him back.
Once he was an adult.
Yeah, once he saw he was an adult. Not a kid, that's what I meant. And so then the guy messaged him back basically saying, hey, don't you want me to play your game? Mm-hmm. The guy said, you think it's a game? And then told him where he was at. I see you're in Florida. I'll see you soon. Mm-hmm. And then never talked to him again. And, of course, even that video could be a hoax, right? But that guy seemed pretty genuine, though,
because I didn't see any other postings.
Well, he has a pretty big following, too. Mm-hmm. He's a big YouTube channel. It's not like some random, you know, that's just making a deal to get views off the Momo thing.
Right.
But whether the Momo thing is legit or not, it's real. It's out there.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, YouTube may be telling the truth of they've not seen it on their stuff, right?
Right.
As far as the kids app and stuff goes. But it is out there, and I think kids are, you know, kids don't just go to YouTube, especially once they get past the age of toddler age and things like that. They know how to search. My encouragement would be watch out what your kids are looking for, even outside of YouTube. It's not really hard. All you got to do is you hear about Momo, search it up, boom, there it is. It's not hard to find.
You're hearing about it on the news. It's almost like they're actually helping him. And that's why I think the news is starting to go, it's a hoax. Because as soon as you put it on the news and you go, hey, this Momo thing, then all these 10-year-old kids get together, bro, I dare you.
Yeah, just like
Momo.
The Tide Challenge, you know, just like all those other things. Yeah.
Right.
It's like
and you
once
think
you
it's
shed
a joke.
Light on it.
Right, you think it's a joke, but what if it is real? And then what if all of a sudden it's telling you, hey, I know where you live, and gives you your address back, then all of a sudden we got some weird things happening. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some vigilante dads out there hunting down Momo.
Sure.
And so, yeah, just keep your eye on your kids' electronics, on their phones and stuff like that. You should be doing that anyways, but parents get lazy.
Yeah,
so
I mean, if you look
reminder.
Over and you see they're watching, you know, like Peppa Pig or, you know, I don't know, PJ Masks, those kind of things, like, make sure you're looking over again maybe the next 2 or 3 minutes later just to check.
Well, the big thing that I encourage you to do is
because I think they're slipping it in right in the middle of the videos, right? I
mean, yeah, with
volume up, you should be able to hear it, right? I mean,
yeah. Another thing is though, on the YouTube deal is if you let them only watch the channels you already approved, that's the way I do it with mine. If there's some channels that Rory likes, she finds a video, she likes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I have her go to that channel. So, you know, this Momo thing, he's not taking over somebody's channel and adding it into an existing video.
Right.
He's copying fake videos.
Yeah, right. He's copying a video your kid already likes and then adding the Momo thing in. So you can avoid that just by watching channels you already trust.
Right.
But I think Hunter's right, too. Keep the volume up. Your kid's watching their video. If you're nervous about it, don't let them have the headphones on over there. Talk to them ahead of time. Tell them, hey, if something pops up that's not normal,
or it scares
you can
you
come
or
tell
whatever,
me.
Come talk to me.
Yeah,
about it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
anyways,
sure.
That's weird.
It is weird. I mean, just in as an adult looking at it, it's creepy, right? So I can't imagine as a kid. Like,
yeah.
Just scary to think, like, all the ways your kids can be exposed to something these days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's great to just have good communication with your kids and let them know beforehand how to handle that situation so they don't feel like they have to do something.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
Well, it's the same thing with stranger danger and all that kind of stuff, right? A lot of parents think that they've told their kids enough, and then you see, like, little tests on YouTube and stuff where their kids just jump right in a car with somebody who said they had puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You gotta communicate to your kids.
It's like my daughter. She would just, if someone had candy, hey, I got candy. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got
that's
chocolate.
How we
I love
friends.
Chocolate.
Yeah. We don't think they will, but we have to pay attention for that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why when we're out in public, you know, I don't really let Claire get away from me. At church, I will a little bit. Like, she can be in the lobby if I'm helping tear down and I know, like, Hunter's in the other room or someone that's cared for before it's in the church with her. But outside of that, like, if we're at a restaurant or, you know, we're out at a store, like, she's right there by my side. There's no running off, you know what I mean?
That makes a lot of sense for her age, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this Momo thing, I mean,
well, yeah, this
9,
is,
10,
this
11
is completely
year
different.
Olds. Yeah.
It's something our parents really didn't have to battle too much with us until we were much older.
Not at all.
Right.
I think that's pretty much going to cover this segment, and unless you guys got anything else you want to add to it. Hunter, do you have any questions?
No, I mean, like, I don't have a lot of input right now because I haven't been.
No,
right, right.
Yeah.
So I've just been listening. That was a good segment for me to even listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a newborn baby yet, but even this podcast is our baby, and we put gaming to the back for it a little bit. So
we have. And we played games we normally wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
Or we've
tested
waters on little independent games to talk about. But, okay, awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and move to the news segment then after this.
Links for Geeks!
All right, we are back, and it's time for Leaks for Geeks. Today, we're going to be running over some news. I'm going to be walking you through some of the stuff I found interesting over the week. So the first thing I wanted to bring to you guys, which I don't know if it's so much news, but I found it funny, and I've seen some videos of it, and it cracked me up. So we just recently got done with our Resident Evil 2 stream. Well, we did part one. We're still going to play more of the game. And I know we did a review last week about it. But apparently, 2 days ago, a modder came out with a mod that turns Mr. X into Thomas the Tank Engine. You know, Thomas the Train?
The Train?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So you can go on and look it up. But yeah, there's video footage of Thomas the Train going through.
Does it play the theme song?
I don't think it does that, but you just see this big Thomas the Train coming through the door, you know. It showed her, like, shoot him with a big, like, grenade-type gun, and he's just on fire, just coming at her. You know? So I wanted to throw that out. It wasn't so much news, but it was funny.
They did that in Skyrim, too. They've done that in a couple games, and Fallout.
Have you seen the Macho Man Skyrim dragon?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Classic. They turned a dragon in Skyrim into a Macho Man.
Randy Savage?
Yeah. And so
it sounds like
instead of doing the dragon sound, like you would hear him, like he'd be flying through the sky, and he'd be like, "Oh yeah, Macho Man." Like all this wrestle
stuff.
Yeah,
brother.
And then whenever he would spit the fire, he'd say, "Yeah." Like the macho voice. Bam. That's what bam.
Hilarious. We need to get together and film some reaction videos to some of those things.
Oh man, it's classic. That one was a classic, but this one's pretty funny. Like, this is up there for me.
I feel like you haven't showed me enough of these videos, Clinton.
I know. We need to get together. When we're not making the podcast, we need to get together, son.
Yeah.
On other news, Apex Legends. Have you guys played it? I have. No, I know we've played it. We've talked about it on the show. But in the first week, you know, it surpassed 25 million. Well, officially, under a month, they've officially hit their 50 million player mark.
Wow.
And so they put out a thank you message on Twitter, and it's a really big deal. They've done some innovations, you know, with their ping feature. GameSpot actually is where I got the article from. They said that, you know, with the new ping system, that's been what a lot of people have talked about, and I know we've talked about it when they look at item and ping it and all these things. Like, it's been a huge deal, so much so that Fortnite is actually, they recently updated their own ping system. Because
oh, really?
This. Yep. They've already implemented it in their game. And BioWare is going to put it into Anthem as well. So, yeah.
I wonder if there's a way that you could, you know, most things, you know, nowadays you can patent, you can have intellectual property on. You know, I wonder if you could have intellectual property on a ping system. You know, like you can't start doing the same ping system we're doing. That's our thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? What stops them from doing that?
I don't know, because I know there's other games that had ping systems, but that was usually like battle games like Dota and that kind of thing, where you could ping the map and say, come here, you know, resources over here, that kind of thing. Mm. I've never seen it in shooters. Like, this is my first time seeing it in a shooter, so.
Gotcha.
Well, technically, you really couldn't get in trouble unless you're using the same voices and the same items, right?
I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, you could change the color of what the ping shows and those kinds of things. So I guess you're right. They could change the graphics and all
that. Well, I mean, in normal stuff, you can. I mean, you can patent the process of how to make something. You know what I mean? Like, I can patent the process and how we make our Cracker Jacks. And you can't make Cracker Jacks that way, ever. Yeah. You know what I mean? You have to figure out some other way to make Cracker Jacks. You can make a different kind of Cracker Jack, but you can't make it our way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, there's some crazy things that can get patented. I mean,
but could I make the Cracker Jacks? I can make the Cracker Jacks so similar, but change one item in them.
You have to change more than one item usually. But
really?
Yeah.
So how much?
Five
how
or
much
six?
Does it
five
have
or
be?
Six differences.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it's not like a percentage thing.
I did not know that.
Anyways, just so you guys know, I'm not a genius when it comes to these kind of things, but that is something that I am learning is invention things. Clint knows that, but
yeah,
I'm patent, learning on how to patent and license inventions and stuff like that. Yeah.
We got some good things coming for sure.
Because we're gonna be rich one day with Ryan's inventions.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
I got an idea.
By the way,
Ryan, I need to get with you
when we're not live.
Yeah, I do need to get with you.
We don't want to give it away. So, going back to some Blizzard news, I don't know, Ryan's played Overwatch. Have you played Overwatch much?
Only with you.
Only with me. All right, sweet. Well, Overwatch, they just, the big title here says, and this is from PCGamer.com, Blizzard is blowing up the Overwatch meta with big nerfs to Zenyatta and Lucio. And so, used to, there was a big, I don't know, it was a play style, it's called GOATS, is what they would call it, and you would do three tanks, and I believe it was three healers, three support is how it went. And so they're finally doing something about it. So the first character in the game that's on the chopping block is Lucio. His AoE healing and speed bonus helps enable slow-moving, high health tanks to get in the battle and stay alive. So his speed song, they dropped it from 30% to 20%. And then they went and took his Amp It Up effect, and they reduced that from 70% to 50%. Now, the Amp It Up, whenever he does Amp It Up, that's his ultimate. It actually throws a shield boost on the entire team if you're within his radius.
Mm.
So that's pretty significant. It went from a 70% shield boost to 50%, whatever it was given. To compensate, Lucio's personal wall ride speed bonus has been increased 20% to 40%. So his wall ride's faster, but they've definitely nerfed him pretty good.
And then Lucio's one of those characters I tried to play, and I just could never get a hold of him. I couldn't get it down.
Well, he's just all over. Mm-hmm. He's all over the place. Like, even when I played him, I'm like, am I playing him correctly? Because he still puts out a lot of DPS, too.
Right.
It's funny because you can kind of get sucked into the, oh, I killed that guy. Oh, I killed that guy. And then forget, oh, I'm supposed to be healing my team. Or I'm supposed to be speed boosting this past this thing, you know? So the next person up on the chopping block is Zenyatta. He has been a near constant fixture in the professional and high level Overwatch matches. His Orb of Discord effect now increases damage by 25%, down from 30. So again, to compensate, his primary fire orb of destruction has been increased in damage from 46 to 48 per shot. There's a handful of other changes. Zarya's alternate fire has a smaller splash damage range, while Junkrat's frag launcher is increasing from 40 to 60 damage per direct hit. I don't think they need to boost Junkrat's abilities. I feel like he's strong enough. You remember Junkrat, yeah, don't you, Ryan?
Yeah, he's the only one I really like to play outside of, what's her name? I want to call her Osiris. I know that's not her
Orisa.
Name.
Orisa.
Orisa. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. And then
I just remember what they look like. I don't remember their names. So
Yeah. That's all good. McCree's getting a buff to his ultimate that lets him fire a killing shot much quicker. Reaper's having a lifesteal effect reduced a bit. And Symmetra's beam cannon will charge up faster now. Overall, they're kind of messing with the meta of the game, trying to change it up, which a game like that needs it. People find something that works, and then they go with that, right? And so since it's a team-based game, they kind of always have to be changing things. It's kind of, I don't think they're ever going to get past that. I mean, that's kind of
right.
That's an endeavor, you know. It's like, well, we're always going to be working on this. So.
Well, aren't they letting out a new character, too, again? The last one was the hamster ball guy. Now there's another character coming.
I saw a picture, actually. I probably should have talked about that in the news today, but I did not.
And sure, they're making some of these adjustments, to because he's going to add a new way of playing a little bit. You know what I mean? And so they're probably making some adjustments to balance the gameplay with this new character available.
Yeah. Well, even after the hamster, they came out with Ash. Her name's Ash. She's a cowboy character, kind of like McCree.
And she
And so she's got the little shotgun that she uses, and then she can pull out a rifle and use that. But she's mainly a DPS character.
Okay.
So I don't think.
Yeah, we haven't played really since old Hamster Ball came out.
Yeah, we've been busy doing so many other things.
Yep.
A lot of games I need to catch up on.
Well, we had just gotten into DayZ at the time, and me and you were hooked.
Yep,
pretty deep when DayZ first came out.
That's true. Yeah, need to get back into it, but you know, that's a good thing about those games. They're usually always there when they got a big following like that, and that's that's one of them. It's got a good base. It's not like it dies off. So also in the news, I saw that. So in other news, I saw that that Halo Infinite is going to be coming. They're going to be covering it more on the E3 this year in 2019.
Oh really?
So yeah, I guess Halo Infinite. Or Infinite, whichever way you want to say it, is a sequel to the... Did I say it the same exact way?
Yeah, you did.
Infinite or Infinite.
Infinite, okay. Well, Halo Infinite, or Infinite.
Infante.
So Halo Infinite will be coming out. They'll be discussing it at E3 2019, and it's going to be a sequel to Halo 5.
Okay.
So I'm so far behind in the Halo series that I'm not sure what's happened between Halo 2 and Halo 5.
Well, I think there's been like Halo, you know, 5, and then there's also been some other ones, right? Like Halo Reach and these other things that are not even part of the Halo 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4, 5.
They lost me. When Halo Reach came out, I kind of stopped. Well, isn't that only an Xbox game?
I can't remember. Probably. I stopped playing back on Halo 3.
I'm pretty sure it's Xbox only. Mm-hmm. But, so, obviously, I don't play it because I have a PlayStation, but I remember playing with my cousin. That's what we would do, meet up at Grandpa's house, stay the night, stay up all night playing Halo. Mm-hmm. And we loved Master Chief. Like, he was the guy, beefy, like, dude in the space suit, you know. And I remember figuring out at one of the end of the games, his name's John, and my cousin's name is John. Mm. And so when we found out his name was John, John was like, "What? I have the same name as Master Chief." Like, awesome. And so we were so pumped about that. But then Halo, I think it was Halo Reach came out, and you don't play as Master Chief anymore.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, I don't want to play that junk. So, I'm Master Chief.
So who do you play as after that then?
It's just the little soldiers, the Halo soldiers. Like,
oh,
because Master Chief was like the soldier. Like he, you know,
right.
Came to destroy, and then you got all the other little Halo soldiers.
Gotcha.
In the fight.
So is this the kind of their strategy to go to a more like an MMO type thing?
Well, no, because I think Master Chief came back in Halo 5. Like, I think you use him in Halo 5, but because we didn't know there was going to be a Halo 5 yet, I kind of fell off of Halo because, I don't know, it was just kind of a turn off for me that I wasn't Master Chief anymore. And then I just never got back into it.
I got you.
Gotcha. Well, Halo Infinite is going to be development for Xbox One and PC.
Okay.
Is the plan for that right now. So
it's still a Microsoft exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be Microsoft. Yeah. But still pretty exciting. You can play it on PC. That's only 100 days away. So
I wonder if it's got the co-op campaign like Halo's always had.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of the
things
I've always liked about it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I'm not sure what they're doing about that. All right, so moving on. I saved the best for last. I don't know if a lot of the fans out there have been paying attention, but Red Dead Online has been a little bit dead as far as content goes. You know, they still have the beta tag on it, so just not a lot of content out there. Well, recently they released their big update this past week, and it did not get the best, what would you call?
Review?
Review, yeah. Or, yeah, there's a little bit of an outcry. But they do have plans. They, according to Rockstar, the next update, they just plan on rolling out more updates quicker. The next update, going from, I believe it's March to June, is going to have new gameplay, weapons, and clothing. They're going to do some additional balancing and a slew of community-requested improvements thanks to responses from their player feedback page. But since its reception, it's been far from positive. People are unhappy. And so I'm going to read to you some of the comments that are going on right now.
Yes,
and I won't say the explicitive words, but I'll let your imagination do it. One post user from Reddit said, his name's Desmondeo.
Okay.
I think that's how you say it. Said, this bleeping update made online even worse. And then went on to, some other people said, nerfing the effing hunting rewards. Who asked for that? Why? It's not like it was super lucrative in comparison to grinding showdowns. I really, really don't understand it, especially considering the next point. When players said they wanted bounties, they meant actually taking on players and receiving some money for it, not losing $2 for killing 8 cops. Who the F are we supposed to shoot now? Oh, wait, I know. I know who Rockstar wants to shoot. It's explained in the next bullet point. So they go on to say, this is like a big thread post, right? So the game encourages griefing now, is what they're saying. You get a daily challenge of headshots by headshotting 3 players. So that's like the new daily thing. Go out and headshot 3 players. So that's been another thing, is they've had a lot of griefing issues.
I don't know what griefing is.
Griefing is just, you know, when you just camp someone. Like, say you're playing, and I just keep coming and killing you over and over and over,
yeah,
and you can't do anything, right?
Right.
And I just keep owning you all day long.
Yeah.
That's griefing.
That's always been a thing in GTA, though.
I know, but it's...
always.
I don't know if it's because we have an older audience or what, but he also goes on to say, the majority of new content is ugly as F. I get it. We're in the Wild West. It doesn't mean we have to be buying new clothes with a crap load of stains and holes in them. Seriously, Rockstar designers, stop. This dripped content is BS. It's the stupidest thing ever, especially since some people actually get a daily challenge telling them to kill people with a weapon that's not in the game. Yet, although we all know it is in the game, Rockstar just decided to hide it and taunting people with coming soon for the clothes. Give me a effing break with this artificial weekly updates BS. Lovely bug fixes, especially the ones that actually effing matter, which are still there big time. Anyway, as you can see, people are happy about it.
Oh, yeah. I know the
gamer
answer.
Gamer rants.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
They need to slap a battle bus in there and do the floss. Hit the floss dance, and
hey,
then we're all good.
Cowboys versus aliens. Come on.
Yeah. I think they got good points, though, for real. Because I think part of the cool thing about Grand Theft Auto is doing things that aren't normal. You know, there's a lot of cheats in Grand Theft Auto, and even things online, flying cars. Okay, that's not realistic for, you know, GTA 5. If we're talking about modern times in the time set, there was not flying cars. You know, there's not things like that.
Right.
So, I mean, you do want to stay true to the Old West in some senses, but when you're online, people want to be flashy, they want to be crazy, they want to be fun. Like, so put some stuff in there that isn't, like they said, you know, like, why are you sticking so true, and why am I buying clothes that have holes in them?
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like,
at least let me have some clothes that don't have holes
in them. Give me some flashy pimp suits.
Even in the Midwest, you're going to be able to have some of those guys that are more wealthy.
Yeah,
they're going to have nice clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
Here's how Rockstar rolls. They should, you know, release every once in a while, release a very expensive spacesuit. Then all of a sudden you got a cowboy riding around with a spacesuit. That's just Rockstar. That's what they do.
Right. But here's
and people
the, here's
like
the,
that.
But here's the problem. I think they like it with GTA. I don't think it works for Red Dead. because I think that the Red Dead player base is an older player base. Now, I don't have statistics to back it up, but it's an old rest. It takes itself much more serious than GTA story mode does. Right?
I agree with you to some extent, but I think there should be some small things in there that are out of the ordinary.
Here's what I think they should do. And if any of them ever listen to this little tiny podcast in this little part of the world, this is what I think they should do, which is how I envisioned it. And maybe we should become game developers, guys. My idea was this. Start your timeline where the game starts in the Old West, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's actually work our way through the timeline. Let's work into, like, the 1920s, where the Old West was starting to die out, right? You mm-hmm. get your cars, you know, that time period where you still had the Old West horses, but you get a dude that's got a little motorcycle, like the first motorcycle ever mm-hmm. made, right? That kind of thing. And start integrating some of that stuff in. So then you can play your little, you know, your little mobster car coming into the Old West towns that are a little more wealthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you still got your part that's the Old West, and you can kind of update the towns to reflect that.
Okay.
And kind of go with something kind of like that.
More like a Western transition point, like when they were coming out of that.
Which is what they were.
You still got a horse? I got my Ford Mobster right here.
Right. Then it would give you something to work towards. You log into the game. It's your first time playing the online mode. Oh, I'm an Old West cowboy. Cool. You can still do that because there's going to be places where a car isn't going to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out in the swamps and things like that in the game. And so then you purposely make it to where, well, this area, yeah, you can use your cars to do drive-bys and do your make robberies and stuff. But maybe certain parts of the map aren't transitioned, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. then a car out off-roading with the little dinky tires isn't going to make it, right? So there's still a reason to have horses.
There'd definitely be, because those first model cars didn't go above, 30 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of times your horse is going to be faster anyways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great idea, Clint. They're not going to do that, though, so get over it.
They won't. I don't know what they're going to do. It's really weird, because I felt like an Old West thing would be amazing.
I'm saying stick to what Rockstar does best and you know, keep the clothes that look Western and all that, but sometimes in your story you need to throw something in there that's real flashy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't fit the norm, and that's what Rockstar does.
Snake skin boots or something.
Yeah, snake skin suit. Like the whole thing is snake skin.
Yeah, that stuff would be cool. You know? I just don't think rocket horses will work in this genre.
No. And I'm not saying that. But I understood what that person was saying when they said we're working to get all this money and all the clothes we can buy are just old Western clothes with holes in them.
Yeah, and I still got to pay $50.
Like, give me something else. I want to be able to buy a pimp suit with a big old peacock feather coming out the side of it and ride my horse down. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, come on.
Yeah, and the way they're doing their model is different. Like, that's kind of the way they did GTA Online. When they first released it, it was kind of, there wasn't much to do. Wasn't a lot going on. And then later they started releasing these updates that are a little crazier and crazier and crazier. But what I'm kind of thinking is the gamers getting tired of having to buy gold bars to get all this equipment, right? Are we getting tired of the whole microtransaction, this paid for service thing? But that's a pretty good, interesting discussion. You guys send us an email or a message in Facebook and let us know what you think. I'm sure this conversation is going to continually come up as new games come out. All right, well, we're going to move on to our next segment. We'll let Hunter take that away after this introduction.
What's cooking, good looking? Master Chef, at home, listening wherever you are. What's cooking, good looking? What's up? Welcome to another segment of What's Cooking, Good Looking. I'm really excited about today, guys. I got some cool stuff. A little backstory on why I'm doing what I'm doing today. I went to Bible college a couple of years ago. Met a lot of really cool people there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma is a hub for churches. There's a lot of churches there. It's also kind of a mixing pot because there's a lot of international students that come there to go to school, to ORU and some different places, TU, you know. But at this Bible college, I met a lot of Brazilian folk. I became really good friends with a couple of Brazilian people. So I got to taste some Brazilian cuisine that was very tasty. And I'm going to have a couple of those tonight for you. I'm going to talk about a main course and then a dessert. Both of them super simple. I mean, more simple than any of the... Well, we've only done one so far, right, that we've released. More simple than the soup we talked about. Tonight, have you guys, Clinton or Ryan, have you ever had stroganoff before?
Yes.
Okay. American stroganoff, right?
Yes.
With the noodles and, like, the beef gravy kind of with the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Brazilian stroganoff is a little different than American stroganoff. Different flavor profile. And the first time I had it, you know, it's chicken, sometimes vegetables, mushroom, and a sauce over a rice. Just kind of like ours. We usually have beef, mushroom, or just beef, noodles, and sauce.
Right.
This is always served over white rice. That's a big thing in Brazil, is their Brazilian rice. It's like a steamed rice, except... they have some more flavor incorporated into it, like garlic, salt, pepper. And they usually start out their white rice by browning it in a pan almost. You kind of just roast it with some butter.
Like you do when you're making Hispanic rice.
Yeah. So you add a little flavor in like that, and then you cook it off. So really yummy, really good. And I remember asking my friend Fabio, that's his name, from Brazil, right? Steamy looking dude. He does fit the stereotype. I said, Fabio, this is so good. Could you show me how to make it? He's like, sure, it's no problem. It's real easy. And I was like laughing with him. And then he showed me how to make it. And I was laughing too, because it is so simple. If I told you guys to guess the two main ingredients, I bet you couldn't. But I'm going to tell you them right now. The two main ingredients for a quick and easy Brazilian stroganoff is ketchup and mustard.
Really?
Yes. Crazy, right? When you get more complex, I'm sure when you go, like if you go to Brazil and go to a restaurant to get their stroganoff, I'm sure it's made a little bit different. They probably use like a roasted tomato instead of a ketchup and, you know, and some other things. But basically, he showed me how to make his version, which I love. And it's just some table cream. That's what they call it. You can find it in the store. It's called table cream sometimes. Other times, it's what you would know as condensed milk, sweet condensed milk.
Okay.
And it's just a little can. If I'm making enough for a party, you know, four people or more, I use two cans. Okay. So two cans of that condensed milk. You want to cook your chicken a little
bit. Make a note of that, guys. Four people or more is a party for Hunter.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have many friends. So what you want to do is you want to take your chicken breast, and you could even, like we did with the soup, if you had a leftover rotisserie, you could throw some shredded rotisserie in this and it would work too. But if you just have the chicken breast, you're going to want to like saute it off in a pan with some oil, some just light salt and pepper, just easily season that, and then cut it into strips, kind of like you're doing like a teriyaki or something, real thin strips. And so then what you want to do for your sauce is you're going to take those two cans of condensed milk, you're going to put them in the pan, right? And then you're going to put your chicken into that, and then you're going to take your ketchup and mustard. And they just, when I watch them do it, they just squirt it over the top till you get an evenly coat, you know, and then they go by color. So you get this really cool orange-looking sauce. But if I was being more technical, I'd say about, if you're doing two cans of the milk, I would do about 4 tablespoons.
Okay.
4 tablespoons ketchup, 4 tablespoons mustard. And then, so what you're wanting to do after that is let that bubble, okay? So let's rewind. I said throw the chicken in. Don't throw the chicken in yet. Do your condensed milk, do your ketchup and mustard, and let that sauce bubble a little bit, okay? So you want to bring it up hot enough. You want to keep stirring.
For a non-cooker, you mean boil.
Yeah.
Not really.
But you don't want to boil a sauce.
So it's like right at the beginning of boil.
Simmer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Simmer down. Simmer down, Clinton.
Gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
So
you want to see it moving.
It's not like a rolling boil. It's like you're going to see some air popping up through the sauce because it's real thick. You know, it's not like the soup. So you're going to keep stirring it while it's doing that because you don't want it to burn on the bottom. And just let it thicken a little bit. I like to do it I test my thickness by taking like a rubber spatula or spoon and running it down the bottom of the pan and seeing how slow the sauce comes back together. Okay, so
Hunter just gave his hand signals. You guys don't have video, yeah, but he brought his hands from being apart to slowly close together to represent it shouldn't just wash right back in. It should kind of take a second
slower
to fill back in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you almost want to get it to the texture and the thickness of a gravy, if you've ever ate gravy before.
Okay.
I like mine just a hair thinner than that because you're going to throw it over rice. You don't want a thick gravy, right? You want it thin. So as soon as that's getting almost there, the thickness, throw your chicken in and just stir it in and it's ready to go because chicken's already cooked. If you're going to add mushrooms, I would recommend you cook your sauce a little thicker because when you throw mushrooms in and they cook, they release natural moisture. Yes.
Mm.
So it's going to thin out. You don't want a thin sauce with mushrooms because then it's going to really get thin. So thicken a little extra, throw your mushrooms in, and then they'll cook down with that hot sauce alone. Then you'll have the consistency you need in that sauce. And so you got your chicken mushrooms in this beautiful sauce that's made primarily of ketchup and mustard,
mm-hmm,
let me remind
mm-hmm
you.
No other seasonings yet either, huh?
No.
Wow.
Because of the rice, you know, usually you cook garlic in the rice.
That's right.
And stuff like that. You don't really need to put garlic. If you really like garlic, like me and Natalie do, I'll start the pan before I put the cream in with a little garlic. Just a little bit of minced garlic in the bottom with the oil, okay? And then just do that like you would onions. Just sweat them. Don't burn it because you will taste burnt garlic in your sauce all day if you burn some garlic in your pan. So do yourself a favor. If you throw the garlic in and forget about it, don't say, oh, it's all right. Just throw the sauce in because you're going to taste it. Start over. Throw some new garlic in there. But really, no. I think that the ketchup and the mustard coming together is enough flavor profile. And then when you're seasoning your chicken, you're wanting to do salt, pepper on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of adds all that in, and then you salt to taste at the end. Quick, easy. Like I said, that is a quick, fast, just like you do a quick pot pie, you know, and throw the biscuits on top and use some canned soup. That is a quick and easy way to do a Brazilian chicken stroganoff. So
now for
your
rice on that, Hunter, do you make the rice the Brazilian way, or you just make some regular white rice sometimes?
You could do it either way. I, of course, always love doing it the Brazilian way if I'm doing Brazilian stroganoff.
So what do they need to do to make it the Brazilian way?
So what I do is I start, there's two things. If you have a rice cooker at home, you can start in the bottom of the pan with some oil and garlic, okay? And then throw your rice in there raw, not cooked at all yet.
Yeah, dry.
That sounds weird, dry, yeah. And stir it around with that oil and garlic, and it'll almost start to smell nutty. Like you can smell how the rice is almost toasting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you smell that, you're good to throw your water in. I've been with some Brazilian folk who just do garlic in their rice. I've been with Brazilian people who do garlic, onion, peas, you know, like it's just, it can differ, but the most traditional I've seen is garlic, onion, rice, salt, pepper, or not even pepper, just salt. They just do salt. So, so start, if you're doing it on the stovetop, saute your garlic to where it's, soft. Don't get it real dark brown because, again, you burned your garlic and you will taste that in your rice.
Mm-hmm.
Throw your rice in. So you're going to want to start with a little extra oil. Don't just coat the bottom, a little extra oil because you're going to have to coat your rice in it, right? So start with that oil, garlic, roast the garlic off. You throw your rice in there, stir it up. When you get that nutty smell, pour the water on the pot just above your rice, maybe a half inch to an inch above the rice. Cover, turn it down low once the water gets hot, and you're going to just steam it out until that water's gone. Then your rice is done. If you're really simple like me, I used to have a rice cooker. You just hit the latch down. It cooks it till it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Same process. Just throw the water in, then put your pan into. Like, because they usually come with like a aluminum pan, so I would just take that aluminum pan out of the rice cooker, put it on the stovetop to do the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Then you be careful, grab some hot pads, take it, transfer it into your rice cooker, close the top down, hit the button, easy peasy, you got some really good Brazilian rice. And I learned to make Brazilian rice at a wedding. I went to a buddy of mine, his wedding. He was marrying a girl that he met at school. She's Brazilian. And I was a groomsman, and when I got there, they said, hey, we thought we were going to have more caterers here today. and we don't, so can you come back and cook? So while everybody else is running around taking their pictures and getting ready for, you know, freshening up, I'm in the kitchen, like, sweating away, making huge tubs of Brazilian rice. Like, just, we had, like, big pots out on, you know, just making as much rice as we could for this wedding party.
That's awesome.
It was a really cool experience. Say, I would never...
What a way to learn, right?
Right. I would never trade that for anything. It was super cool to be in the kitchen with some Brazilian chefs cooking.
Cool.
So that one's an easy Brazilian chicken stroganoff. You know, you don't even got to tell the wife that there's mustard and ketchup in there.
Oh, yeah.
Just let her
taste it.
She's not going to know. I'm telling you, it's a sweet, mustardy sauce. I was blown away when they told me how they made it. I was like,
really
no way is it that easy. So, yeah, keep it a secret. Say, honey, I'm cooking you some Brazilian cuisine tonight. Sit back, relax. I'll have it done in a little bit. And then... should be blown away.
Cool.
Nice.
So, the next one I got is also Brazilian, and it's a dessert, quick and easy dessert. It's a form, I would say a form of fudge, you know, it reminds me of fudge, but it's a huge deal in Brazil. It's called brigadeiro.
Hmm.
Say it with me. Brigadeiro.
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 Clint, you're supposed to say brigadeiro.
Brigadeiro.
All right, we can go on now.
I like the hit. Brigadeiro.
Sorry,
I got ambushed.
I got ambushed.
So,
the
yeah.
Day
so
I was buying a pair of cowboy boots and almost got me a brigadeiro, but I decided against it.
I like your style.
Oh,
huh?
My gosh. So, brigadeiro, like I said, it's like a fudge. This is going to even be fancier than the stroganoff. If you make this for your wife and set it down in front of her and say, I made you some brigadeiro. It's Brazilian. She's going to be like, what
hey,
are
is
you
it,
talking
is it,
about?
Is it gluten-free or do I not get to eat it?
It's gluten-free.
Yeah, it should be. It's it's really, really simple.
Both these are gluten-free. Grow up. Damn.
Yeah. So, again, we have our sweetened condensed milk because apparently Brazilians love their sweetened condensed milk. So you what you're going to do is you need some sweetened condensed milk. Usually I only use, even if I have a party of four or more, if all my friends are coming over, the four of them, right? One can is usually enough.
Okay.
If you have a huge party, do two cans again and just double the recipe. But what you're going to do is you're going to take one can of that sweetened condensed milk, one tablespoon of butter, and you're just going to sit that in the pan just like you would start the other sauce. And then you're going to, once it kind of forms together, the butter's melted, and you got your sweetened condensed milk, you're going to kind of stir it around a little bit, let it start to thicken a little bit, and once it's just starting to thicken a little bit, you're going to sprinkle in 3 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder. Okay?
Okay.
Because the condensed sweetened milk's already got enough sugar in it. If you just have sweetened cocoa around, it's not going to kill you, it's just going to be real sweet, you know? So, but usually, most of the time, if you're buying cocoa in the pack, it's not sweetened, I don't think.
Right.
Anyway, so you're going to thicken that a little bit, then you're going to put the cocoa powder in there, and you're just going to keep stirring it and keep that fire on underneath it, just like that sauce. You don't want it to burn. Just keep your spoon moving, and this time, you're going to use the same method, but you're going to run that spoon down the middle of your pan, and when it takes so long for the sides to come back and touch each other in the middle that you don't think they're going to, then it's done.
Okay, so you want it real thick.
Real thick. So you're
gonna keep moving. You guys, when he says you guys got to keep moving, it's because that sweetened condensed milk has so much sugar in it. It will burn on the bottom if you don't keep moving.
And you'll taste it. It's not like you can just burn it on one side of the pan and it's okay.
No.
So do you whisk it or do
you taste it?
No, you
can use a whisk if you want, but it's going to get inside the whisk if you know what I'm saying, because it starts to thicken. I think the best thing to use is a rubber spatula. Just keep moving the rubber spatula. Okay. I always learned in culinary school, do the figure eight with your hand when you're using a whisk, right? You just keep it moving. And when you think it's thick enough, you just take that spatula and you drag it down the middle of your pan, and it's like parting the Red Sea. You'll see pan, and then all of a sudden the sauce will move back together. So keep doing that and checking it to where you run it through, and it almost takes forever for that to move back in together. And then what you want to do is just line like a cooking sheet out with parchment paper, and just or if you have a pan that's nonstick, just pour that Brigadeiro into there so it can start cooling, so you don't overcook it. And you're gonna let it cool for a little while. You're gonna take it out. My Brazilian friends, I'd seen some of them, they butter their hands. They put butter on their hands. If you got spray, you can spray your hands. And you're just gonna take a little glob of that and you're gonna roll it into a ball in your hands. And then what they like to do is put some chocolate sprinkles over the top of them. If you don't have chocolate sprinkles, you can just put a little tiny bit, sprinkle a little tiny bit of that cocoa powder back over the top of it to make it look nice. And they're just little fun bites that you can eat, you know, pop them in like little pieces of fudge.
Sweetened condensed milk, butter, and cocoa. That's all.
Yep, that's it.
Shoot.
I know, it sounds super simple, but the cooking method, you know, it condensed, that condensed milk that is already condensed and sweetened is going to even more reduce, so it gets so sweet and yummy. And I've seen, I haven't learned all the ways to make Brigadeiro. This is one way. I've seen them make white chocolate Brigadeiro. I've seen them make all kinds of different. At one of the weddings I went to, actually it was the same one. I wasn't cooking the dessert, so I didn't see how it was made. They had a white chocolate Brigadeiro around a grape.
Really?
And it was so good, guys. I can't. You pop the whole thing in, and you're not expecting a grape in the middle. Then you bite down, you get the fruit, the white chocolate. Man, killer. So, really cool, fun, quick dessert. I mean, this is something you could even do with your kids. Teach them how to do it. You know, just two steps in it, basically. Three steps, and there's only three ingredients. So, super fun.
That sounds good.
Super easy. Yeah, and it sounds super fancy. You tell your wife you made her Brigadeiro.
Oh, yeah. That sounds really good. I just feel like I would burn both of those. Those are like harder level cooking skills, so I might have you come over and watch over me while I do it.
The trick on any of that stuff you're scared of burning is you really just don't make anything else at that time. A lot of guys, you know, when we're trying to make something, we want to have two, three things going at once. And when you need to stir that thing continuously and you're not a chef, just stir it continuously. It's the only job you got, right? I mean, stirring it, scraping the sides, scooping it while it's heating up. It does take a long time to heat up when you stir, because you're cooling it down as you stir. So it will take a while to get all the way to the thickness you want, I'm sure.
Hey, I do want to give a shout out though to that last recipe, Hunter, that we released on episode 2. The chicken noodle soup, I cooked it this weekend and it turned out really good. How I know it turned out good was Claire told me she did not want soup. And then later on she came by and said, "Can I have a bite just to try it?" And I gave her a bite and then she ate, she helped me eat half the bowl. So it turned out good.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
I heard a couple people made it, right? Ryan, you tried it out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I made it with rice. It was bomb.
Yeah. And then Sean made it, right?
I think he said he didn't have all the ingredients.
Well, that's okay. Sometimes you won't. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, obviously you can't make Brigadeiro if you don't have all three of these. But some of the ones we cover on here, you're going to be free to leave something out. Or, you know, grab something else if you're missing something. So that's cool. I'm glad that in that time I've already had three people make them and had good feedback. Eventually, I had an idea. I think it would kind of be cool to get either some videos uploaded on Delirious Dad Gaming YouTube page or even on a personal YouTube page and run through some of these recipes.
Like and make, you
make
cook
a,
it? Like,
yeah, make a couple videos.
We need to update that. And actually we need to actually add the recipe on the page too, like along with the video. We should put the actual recipe there for everybody.
For sure. So yeah, those are my two recipes for the night. I want to give a quick shout out before we're done with this segment to my friend Aaron Jones. We hung out a couple weeks ago and he brought over his PlayStation and he's got Overcooked. Is that what it's called? Overcooked? Yeah, he's got Overcooked on there, and that was super fun playing with him. I've never played that before. Him, me, and my buddy Caleb, we sat down and played that for hours.
Yeah, that's a good family game to play, for sure.
Yeah, and we started talking slash yelling at each other in Italian accents. And
nice.
I think Gordon Ramsay made an appearance for a while, too.
So
it was a fun night. That was a cool game. Obviously, no real cooking skill involved, but It is a cool game. You should check it out if you want to feel like you're a little chef running around a crazy kitchen. So
I actually think that game's actually one of the top co-op games out right now, which wouldn't seem like it when you think about it, but
if you don't work together, good. You die. Mm-hmm. So you have to work really well together. So that'd be a great marriage counseling game, I think. Like a guy would observe how well you do on Overcooked and then talk you through it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. So. And then speaking of shout-outs, as we're about to sign out here tonight, I wanted to give a shout-out to some friends of mine out in Oklahoma City. It's a married couple. Arthur Gordon is the one running the thing, but it's him and his wife, Keisha. They're running a podcast called You've Got Love. It's a romantic movie podcast. So they already got, I think, 5 or so episodes out, maybe more now. But they go over romantic movies and discuss it and kind of review it. And it's a good, you know, husband-wife kind of combo. So if you're into that, or maybe you want your wife to sit down and listen to a podcast with you, that might be the one to do it with. So I want to give them a shout-out. They gave us a shout-out a couple weeks back. And so.
Oh, yeah, just another tip. You know, this show has just been full of tips. This is the Delirious Dad's advice show today, it seems like.
Yeah. For real.
But another tip is watch romantic movies with your wife, man. Yeah. Seriously. You know, you can't just expect to only watch. Now, if your wife doesn't care about romantic movies, she's probably lying. But, you know, most women do to an extent. Not every ooey-gooey romantic movie, but there's romantic movies out there that you can enjoy, too, that work for both of you. And, man, that earns you a lot of points. And, you know, what is it? We're going to sit there and relax and watch a movie? You still get to snuggle. You still get to do all right. That stuff. It's right. An easy win. Easy win.
Definitely. Well, I feel like every once in a while they get you anyway. You know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like a lot of times I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch this. This is so, it looks so bad. And then I get halfway through the movie with her and I'm like feeling like I'm tearing up a little bit. I'm like, oh man, this is a really good movie.
Hey, what tears me up on those romantics though, what I hate, is it'll be going along so great, and then you're like, I know this dude's going to do something stupid, mess it up. They're going to break up. It's going to be a year. They'll get back together. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, drives me nuts, but I know that's the formula. Or this guy's past is going to come back to catch up on him, and he didn't say anything about it, and she's going to get mad, and they're going to have their dispute, you know?
Yep.
But, hey, it's all good. I'm sure they do the same thing about the movies we watch, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's right.
Predictable. Super predictable. Every zombie movie's the same. Someone's going to get bit, not tell somebody, then it's going to cause chaos in the camp.
They're going to capture a guy. The guy's going to escape. He's going to get someone killed. Then they're going to have to go and try to find him. And it's going to be this whole,
crazy. Yep. Always the same kind of scenario. Yep. But we still watch them.
Yep.
That's right.
Well, all right, guys. Well, thanks for joining. Stay delirious.
Stay dadding.
And stay gaming. Thank you for listening to the Delirious Dads Gaming Podcast. For more information on our product, you can visit our website at deliriousdadsgaming.com. Also, be sure to check out our Facebook page, where we give up-to-date information on the show, on what's going on in our lives, and news within the gaming world. Please be sure to share and like our page, as we want to try to grow our community and our audience. You can find our podcast on podbean.com. We're also located on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Thank you for listening to the show. We look forward to seeing you next time.